right, welcome to another edition of the Hardwood Huddle. My name is Randy Zelia, a very disappointed Yankee fan. And with me now is Obi-Wan Kenobi. We have the basketball master, the World Series supporter of the Houston Astros, Mr. Bill Ingram. Yeah, celebrate, man. Let's get this champagne going on the show.
Yeah. No disappointed Astros fans today, I'll tell you that.
I just want to let you know there was a sign that says congratulations, World Series champion Astros, but they stole it and they took it down. So I just want to let you know that happened. I'm sorry. You know what? I hate to say this, and Bill, as great of an accomplishment it is, and no one is taking away the accomplishment of the Houston Astros. I know we're a basketball show, and people who are tuning in are going, wait, they promised basketball. They're talking baseball. What the hell? Look, at the end of the day, do you think, and this is just, I'm asking Bill Ingram, the Houston Astro fan, his opinion, do you think the past controversies of the sign stealing and everything else like that, do you think that they just still deserve to have that type of abuse on them? Or is it like, you know, it was 2017, we're in 2022, let's just move on?
Well, there's a couple of things about that. First of all, let's see, the Dodgers were caught cheating. The Braves were caught cheating. The Red Sox were caught cheating. There was dosing. There was drugs. There was the Astros were stealing signs. Okay, baseball teams have been stealing signs since baseball started having signs. I mean, the NBA does it. The coaches on the – you don't have to steal it. They're standing there telling you the sign. The opposing team knows every – it's one thing to know, oh, here comes a curveball. You don't know the placement. You don't – like, okay, so they broke a rule. And they got severely penalized for it. Yeah, that was 2017. Most of those guys aren't even a part of the organization anymore. So to heap abuse on, I mean, Altuve seems to be the poster child for it. But, okay, Altuve is one of the greatest shortstops to ever play. So with or without knowing what the sign is, he brings a lot of incredible talent to the game. So, and the other thing you say is, well, they were better on the road than they were at home that year, especially in the World Series. So they need, okay. I don't understand the whole thing, but whatever the case, no matter how good or bad or ugly, whatever you want to say, it's years ago. And the Astros, even after losing draft picks and front office gutted and manager ever, you know, they're still the best team in the American League. And now they're the best team in baseball again. So my hat goes off to them for all the abuse that was heaped on them that they overcame.
Yeah, I agree. Again, I have fun with it just because I know sometimes it just gets people a little riled up. And that's, you know, as a host, that's what I'm supposed to do, right? I'm supposed to get you all fired up. But, you know, the simple fact is the Houston Astros are the World Series champions. Look, the Yankees had a hot start, but again, just like the NBA, the Major League Baseball is a marathon. It's not a sprint. You can have the greatest start in the world. You can go only three losses in your first 150 games. If you're not hot going, and same thing with the NFL, if you're not hot going into the playoffs, it don't matter.
Well, and the thing that's been really fun to watch about this Astros team is I grew up when the pitching was amazing. I grew up going to the Astrodome. And you had Mike Scott and Nolan Ryan on back-to-back nights. And then you had Dave Smith as their closer. Those guys were untouchable. Ryan and Scott would throw back-to-back one-hitters, no-hitters. But they didn't really have the offense. Of course, they were playing in the Astrodome, which hitting a home run there was a real accomplishment. But then when that generation kind of ended, they had a lot of offense. You had the Killer Bees, Biggio, of course, amazing, Bagwell. So the offense was good, but the pitching never quite came through. And now over the last 5-6 years, the Astros have put together a team that not only has amazing pitching, but also amazing defense and timely hitting. And that's why they've been so successful. They finally got all those elements to come together at the same time.
Were you surprised? I think by when the midseason, when the Yankees started falling apart and the Astros overtook them for the best record in baseball,
the Astros helped.
Yeah. I think that was pretty much the sign for the Yankees. It might be time to hit the panic button. And the general feeling was if they're not hosting the Astros for that championship series, it's not theirs. But it was what it was. But that's baseball. We can always tune into Exit Velo from Back Sports Page for baseball talk. We're the NBA guys. And Bill, I know our schedules have been very difficult. We've been talking about doing shows, and then on days it just, you know, I take the blame for that. And look, at the end of the day, look, the NBA season is up. You know, you and I always say the beginning of the season is always fun, but the official start of the NBA season is usually Christmas. But this is always this is always good to see who can have a good first month and then drop out. We were just talking as we came on the air how ESPN and Fox Sportsnet and all these, some of these other places will label a team in disarray. And we haven't even played 10 games yet in a season. Like, they're sitting there saying, what are the Lakers and LeBron going to do? I don't know. Maybe play a fifth game and then we'll talk about it.
Yeah.
Look, at the end of the day, what we can do right now is sort of give a little, you know, more of a, you know, okay, this is what it is the first week or two of the season. Who's playing okay, who's not, some notable news. And look, I think one of the first things we can talk about before we jump into Kyrie, which will take up a good portion of our time.
Oh, man.
I always like to bring up one
psychotherapist on.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Before we jump into that, let's just jump in some news and notes. James Harden going to be out a month for Houston. Not Houston. Well, he's out a month for Houston, too.
Yeah.
For Philadelphia. Look, at the end of the day, James Harden, there's a reason why the Oklahoma City Thunder traded him to the Houston Rockets. And one of the things I've always said was they chose Serge Ibaka over him to give that money to. Mm-hmm. Because Serge Ibaka was able to do things on the court that James Harden wasn't able to do. Every guy in this, I would say, not every guy, but maybe 95% of the players in the NBA can score points if need to be. James Harden can't do those other things that Serge Ibaka was able to do. So he became very expendable and sent to Houston. I never understood what the major appeal of James Harden was. Look, I'm a Nets fan. I will tell you flat out, I was not thrilled when he came here last year. Bill, your take, you've watched a lot of James Harden basketball. This might be a blessing in disguise to the Sixers that he's not there for a month.
Well, I think going back to OKC, when you have a choice between Serge Ibaka, who's a stretch four, but also a dominant rebounder and shot blocker, as you said, he's extremely active on both ends of the floor. And then you have James Harden, who A, is talking about not being happy, B, wants a max contract, C, is making it a daily story. That's not what Sam Presti's going to do. He wants the games to be about the team and not about outside drama. So he pulled the plug on that and got rid of him. Then he gets to Houston. And, of course, with Mike D'Antoni, you've got an offense-minded coach. He invented the 5 seconds or less Phoenix Suns mentality. And that's what you got. And to Harden's credit, they put the right team around him, and he was able to flourish. And, hey, if Chris Paul doesn't get hurt in the Western Conference Finals, they might have won a championship. But most of Harden's offense, or not most, but a lot of his offense comes at the expense of what other guys can do. And we see this with Luka Doncic to a certain extent. He hasn't quite figured it out either. He can muscle that team to some wins, but you've got to be able to not only trust your teammates, but understand where to find them. There are nights where Luka does it well. There are nights where Luka forgets there's other guys on the team. Harden pretty much doesn't know there's other guys on the team a lot of nights, and certainly he doesn't understand why they go to the other end. Like, what the other team scores down there? Where are you guys going? He doesn't understand that, and or won't understand it. So that's why I think if Embiid is healthy and you got the rest of those guys healthy for Philadelphia, you're going to see an opportunity for a lot of guys to be involved in the offense who are not involved in the offense when James Harden's in the game. So I think it'll be fun to watch them.
I got to tell you, the rising star on that team, like, you know what you're getting from Embiid. I still think
and Tobias Harris.
And Tobias Harris. Those two guys, you know what you're getting out of, you know, Joel Embiid. You're 7 feet tall. You and I have had this argument so many times. I don't have to feel like I have to rehash it. If you're 7 feet tall, don't shoot threes. Hang out in that paint. I guarantee you're going to dominate. You know, yes, you're going to be banging bodies a little bit, and he's shown that he is injury prone. But if your 7-footer is outside shooting threes, who's rebounding the ball? That's what I've always said.
They got plenty of guys to shoot threes.
Yeah, they have plenty of those guys. I think the guy really to watch is Tyrese Maxey.
He is
the future of that team. They better lock him up financially too. I think right now, you know, they're calling everybody and anybody to see, hey, you want Tobias Harris? No? Come on. We'll take anything. Come on. Let's go.
And that's crazy.
Yeah.
Because he also does everything well. He can shoot the three. He can score inside. He runs the court. He plays defense. I would take, hey, you want to give me Tobias Harris?
Yeah.
I made the argument that the Warriors, when Kevin Durant left, they should just sign Tobias Harris and be fine. But yeah, yeah, but Daryl Morey is not my favorite GM either.
You and half the league, ladies and gentlemen. I have to admit that one is really, really confusing to people. But Tyrese Maxey was a diamond in the rough as far as their draft picks were concerned. Yeah. He's excellent player, and I'm very interested to see what they do. Philadelphia sort of struggled out of the gate a little bit here. They're four they're 4-6 again. The first 10 games of the season, I'm not putting too much stock in the first 20 games of the year. You look at some of the teams that are struggling in the first half of the first 10 games. And some of those teams are still going to be the teams that are going to be there in the end. I think if we're going to start in the Eastern Conference like we just did, before we jump into the Brooklyn situation, another team that seems to be struggling right out of the gate is the Miami Heat. Miami Heat trying to figure out their identity. You can't tell me that losing P.J. Tucker is all of a sudden putting this team in disarray. I think it might be a culture thing. It might be a Jimmy Butler thing. Jimmy Butler seems to wear out his welcome after every 2 or 3 years with a team.
Yes, he does.
What's your take on the Miami Heat, what they have coming back from this year? They just signed Tyler Hero to an extension. I don't know if Tyler Hero warranted that type of extension. Your thoughts on that?
Well, I think the main thing going wrong in Miami is age. And we talked about this last year and over the summer, was that your window with Kyle Lowry, he's been around a long time and he's been dominant. That championship team with Toronto, he was extremely good in Houston, just splitting, platooning with Mike Conley when they were younger players. And then when he finally got a chance to start, Kyle Lowry showed, as Conley has separately, that he's, an all-star talent. But we all, Father Time catches up, and we saw Kyle look like a player who is towards the end of his career last season.
Right.
And that's the Heat don't have now a reliable number two. It's not going to be Kyle, unfortunately. He's a great kid. He's a great talent. But we get older, we can't do it anymore at that level. So to me, that's the big issue. Now, I'm sure there's when they're losing – I know that Jimmy Butler gets irritated and then he gets toxic sometimes. And maybe that's going on too. I mean, like we've said, it's too early. But the biggest issue facing Miami to me is their age.
Yeah. And I also look at the chemistry issue. You have a lot of guys who do the same things. You have Duncan Robinson and Tyler Hero who sort of do the same things. I think Tyler Hero probably does a little bit more than Duncan Robinson. And, they were sort of forced going into last season to give Duncan Robinson a contract after having a great finals a couple years ago, and then you don't want to lose him for nothing. So I have a feeling, and Pat Riley gets very anxious. If he sees the first 20, 25 games that something's not going right, he does something. It may not be the smartest thing, but he does something.
He starts making phone calls. I'm going to make you an offer you can't refuse.
Is Pat Riley the official godfather of the NBA? I'm beginning to really feel that way.
It's either him or Popovich.
No, I think
Riley gives off that vibe.
Yeah, I think it's because the greased hair, now that it's totally silver, you see it's still greased back. And he looks like, in a way, looks like Joe Pesci from the Irishman in that sense. And the other team, and obviously in the Eastern Conference that is struggling out of the gate, we talked about Philadelphia, Miami, is the Brooklyn Nets. And obviously the Kyrie Irving stuff is it's a sensitive topic. So I'm going to be very, very careful because I sort of, in my own ways, made jokes about the situation off air. But I'm obviously going to be very, very careful with what I say, because when you start bringing in religious groups and people and that sort of thing, we're in a very PC environment now. And whatever our own feelings are and things that we believe in, some things are better said out loud and some things are just left unsaid. Some things are better not thought. we as a society have gotten very sensitive. Sometimes that's good and sometimes that's bad. I joked around with someone the other day and said, just imagine if Michael Jordan was around during the social media time. Oh my God. We would just have like, oh no, God. Yeah.
Larry Bird.
Can you imagine how many Instagram posts and TikTok updates of Jordan in a casino we would have? Like, it'd be crazy. So we live in a very PC era now, and you know, Kyrie's. Look, I'm going to say this in the nicest way possible. I find it very hard to believe that he won't dress again for the Nets this year. I'm pretty sure by some point he'll be back in a uniform. But in my opinion, I think it'd be best interest for everybody that he's not in a Nets uniform for the rest of his career. Nike just canceled his shoe deal or suspended his shoe deal. But, you know, anytime Nike suspends something, they're never bringing it back. Your take on this whole drama of Kyrie Irving, which by the way, in your own way, Bill, you predicted this happening.
Of course. Yeah. I mean, some social issue is going to come along. He's going to be on the wrong side of it. And then that's going to be it. It's not about basketball with Kyrie. Somebody, a Jazz person I correspond with on Twitter, said, "Hey, let's trade Mike Conley for Kyrie Irving." And I responded, I said, I would not trade them straight up. I wouldn't give up Mike Conley. You have a guy who's an incredible human being who shows up to play every night. Now, talent for talent, is Kyrie a better player when they're both playing? Yes. However, there's an unpredictability factor that makes it impossible to win a championship. You cannot have someone who you just don't know. I think the issue itself, anytime you say this group of people is bad or they're to blame for something or whatever the situation is, it's never a whole, you cannot label a whole group of people. No matter what, Jewish, not gay people, white people, black people, foreigners, blah, blah, blah. As soon as you say all and start painting an entire group of people with one brush, you're in the wrong.
You're dead. You're dead. And look, and then the outrage here, I'm Bill, I'll tell you what the outrage from this area is for people who want to go to games and stuff like that. The fault on the Nets and the NBA for not doing something sooner. And I was trying to explain that they probably had to do an investigation. They can't just come out of nowhere and say, "Hey, we're suspending him." And there's a bunch of people saying, "I don't get it." No, you're giving Kyrie enough rope to hang himself. He went out and did a press conference and did everything but apologize. The organization he was going to give $500,000 to decided that they don't even want the money. He said, if he's not even going to come up and own it, you're not going to buy your way out of this problem. And then he did a Instagram post after all that saying, "I'm sorry." And now the Nets are sitting there saying, I don't know if you saw the list of things that he has to do to return to the team.
I didn't know.
I will be glad to pull that up for you while I get your opinion.
Well, I think, again, you've got addition by subtraction. That team, when they put that team together, we talked about it here, Kyrie Irving, James Harden, and Kevin Durant, you have – those are three personalities that should never be in the same locker room. They just shouldn't, unless it's an all-star game and Greg Popovich is there or something. But when you're actually trying to put a culture together and create a winning program, I can't think of – I mean, Kevin Durant, sure, no problem there. But Kevin is very impressionable. He was at his best when he was playing with Kendrick Perkins – or with Steph Curry, because he had those strong personalities to mold him and keep him secure off the court, because there's some insecurity there. But at putting two guys like that, and obviously the Nets realized it right away with Harden and got rid of him. I think now it's time to realize once and for all, can we look at the Lakers? Can we look at the Nets? Can we look at the Clippers and say, do not let players dictate what rosters look like. Do not do it. Because Paul George and Kawhi Leonard, of course, they don't really play together because Kawhi never plays. But when they do play together, they don't look good together. The Lakers and we've said it many times, we said it before last season when everybody was talking about how it was going to be a dream team with the Lakers. And we were going, no, it's not, because Russell Westbrook, Russell Westbrook is a great, great, great player. Not on that roster. You don't have shooters. That you have to recognize that. And now the Nets, you put three very dysfunctional people together. And guess what? It's dysfunctional. Wow. Yeah. It's amazing.
Well, here's the list. This came from Shams Sharana. He's a senior lead NBA insider for The Athletic and Stadium, FanDuel partner and co-host of Run It Back on the FanDuel TV. He said he broke the news. Sources: Nets have delivered Kyrie Irving 6 items he must complete to return to the team. Apologize and condemn the movie. $500K donation to anti-hate causes, sensitivity training, anti-Semitic training. Meet with the ADL Jewish leaders. Meet with Joe Shai to determine understanding. I can tell you right now that's not going to happen.
No. That's we're talking about a guy who wouldn't get a free shot to play.
Yeah. Free vaccine. I, you know what? I forgot all about that. I literally, it's like you bring up last year's controversy. That's last year's nothing. He went like this. You don't think I could beat last year? Hold my beer. I could definitely beat last year's controversy. I can definitely do that.
You know, he's the NBA version of the guy who used to be president, the orange guy. We don't say his name. But you know, every day there's another controversy while you're still trying to stomach the controversy from the day before. There's a new controversy today. And then while you're starting to try to think about that, there's another controversy. And you, at some point you just go, okay.
It's almost laughable now. And it's also very sad. But I will tell you, I've watched the Nets the last 2 games without him in the lineup. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you mentioned before about how Kevin Durant sometimes needs to have a group around him to be impressionable. He had a bunch of young players because Ben Simmons is out with a back injury now too, or knee injury now. I'm sorry.
Whatever.
Yeah. I'm more, but it took 5 games and for Steve Nash and Ben Simmons to go out the window. Boom. Right. We're done. Here is my takeaways from the last 2 wins against Washington and Charlotte. Again, understanding who the opponents are, Charlotte without LaMelo Ball and Washington at full strength. It's Washington.
It's just Washington.
It's just Bradley Beal, Chris Upper, Zingas, and other guys. Let's just put it that way. Watching those 2 games, Kevin Durant gets to be the veteran and the leader in the locker room to a bunch of young guys who look up to him. And I think that's a very, very, very important thing. There's no Kyrie being an impression on anybody. There's no Ben Simmons and there's no Steve Nash. Jacques Vaughn, who is a very smart basketball mind and deserves a head coaching position somewhere in the league. You listen to him talk, he has forgotten more basketball than you and I will ever know. So that's the one thing. That's the one thing I can always
play for Jerry Sloan.
Yeah, played for Jerry Sloan and was Pop's right hand man for a long time. Yeah. Let's not forget about that. And so this team, the last 2 games, is a team that you sort of can root for because you have a bunch of young guys who are playing hard. Mm-hmm. Durant is leading that team. Again, do I think they need Kyrie? I don't think they need Kyrie. Do I think they need Ben Simmons? I think there's things that Ben Simmons could do to help that team, but I don't think that they – I think there's other guys who can do what Ben Simmons is doing for them right now.
I think you need – it's like Top Gun where – Maverick is back in the sky and they're trying to get him to engage and he just, it's no good. It's no good. He just won't like, and when Ben Simmons played, what did he play? 2-3 games this year?
It was like 4 games, 4 or 5 games.
It was like, are you gonna, like, he's afraid to get fouled because he won't hit the free throws. He's afraid to commit foul. Like, and I get, hey, you've missed a lot of games. And this is one reason I think the idea that people like Kawhi Leonard and Ben Simmons, guys who've missed incredible amounts of time, to think that they're going to step back in and be, okay, the Clippers are going to be contenders. Come on, you can't, Zion, you can't miss that many games without having issues. But watching Ben Simmons was painful. It was like he just didn't want to play basketball. And again, 4 or 5 games in, where are we at Christmas? But he didn't look good.
No, he didn't look good. And the other part of that, too, is – you now have to look at this roster if you're Sean Marks. You say, hey, while Kevin Durant is here, assuming you decide you don't want to stick with this, assuming that Kevin Durant is here, how do you shape this roster to be competitive? And you're not, I think, addition by subtraction with Kyrie Irving. I think Kyrie not being there is going to help the team because his talent is not worth the headache.
No.
That's the truth. If I'm sure that there is a team right now that you can package Ben, you may not get the value back that you want, but you can get him out of there. You still look at this lineup. You still have a Joe Harris who can shoot threes. You have a Seth Curry. Who played his first game of the season last night, who's going to work his way back into shape and be a contributor. Mm-hmm. He's not a number 2. Seth Curry is a consolation 3-4-5 type of player. Mm-hmm. Joe Harris isn't a 3-4-5 player. So if you're the Nets, you have to see what you can package with what you have to get a number two. Because, and you have to see what number two is really going to be out there. You look at the lower level teams in the NBA right now. You look like just looking at the East. The Orlando Magic, you might be able to pull something out of there because they might be looking to make a deal. The Detroit Pistons, they're young. They're not losing. They're learning, that team. Mm-hmm. Because I watched a couple of their games, and they're going to be good.
Yep.
You look at Washington and Indiana. You know, I don't know what Indiana's really doing.
I wondered that too. Not, it's kind of like the Utah Jazz. Are you guys are tanking, right? Right?
Yeah.
Weren't you tanking? Oh, okay.
I don't consider 4-5, you know, again, we're not 10 games in yet, but I don't consider 4-5, you know, what, you know, like they'll be on the
They've lost a couple. Yeah. But they had a couple really, I was like, early, the first 4 or 5 games. It's fun. It's fun to look at those. The Spurs were 5-1. You know, it's like, oh, look at that.
Yeah, you just look. They're at not it. Yeah, you just look at
60 games, but
like you just said, the Spurs were 5-1. Now they're 5-5, and then they lost the last three. You know, you know, like Utah is number two in the conference right now. You know as much as I do. Utah's not making the playoffs this year. But right now,
I mean, who knew Lauri Markkanen was ready to be Larry Bird? I don't. what happens is Lauri Markkanen has a great first 10 games, and then all the coaches have a couple days where they get a chance to look at the film and figure out how to stop Lauri Markkanen, and then that's over. But it's fun early.
Yeah, it's like, are you the Warriors are 3-7? Okay,
yeah.
We know as much as I do, but you know what? That's also an age thing catching up to them. You know, they're not really getting younger. They signed Wiggins, so they got Wiggins wrapped up. I'm just trying to figure out, you know, if that incident with Draymond Green fractured the culture there a little bit.
Well, I don't know if it's that. Or I think his age is more the fact that, you know, he's not going to give you a triple-double anymore. And
what does he bring to the table? What is Draymond Green, today's Draymond? Let's not look at his past accomplishments. He has been an underrated player who gets a lot of hate because of the silly antics.
He's the Bruce Bowen. You gotta have a villain, you know.
Yeah, well, again, like you know, it's like Batman. You either die a hero or see yourself live long enough to become the enemy. Long enough
to see yourself. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Now I ask you, November 6th, as we tape this, November 6th, what does Draymond Green bring to your team? What if you say I'm going to part ways with Draymond Green? What is another GM going to take away from bringing Draymond Green to their team right now?
The only situation where I could see Draymond Green, what he brings is just veteran, you know, toughness and veteran experience, right? Well, the Golden State Warriors have plenty of toughness and veteran experience. What they need is an injection of a live body down there in the front somewhere. And, you know, you look at a team like, I mean, Houston has lots of live bodies. Houston does have Eric Gordon playing that veteran role. But I don't know if you brought Draymond in, if he had the right mentality. I mean, getting traded from the Golden State Warriors to a lottery team would suck. Let's just be honest. But if he went in with the right mentality, a young team, Orlando maybe, a young team that's got talent but not wisdom and maybe not nastiness. And when you're talking about a team like Houston, Orlando, even maybe Detroit, maybe – you got to have a little bit of nastiness to start winning games. But the last 2-3 minutes, you've got to have some just grit. And I think that's something that Draymond could teach. I don't know that he can bring it anymore, but he has certainly done it very well for many years.
Draymond reminds me of that guy who gets traded to a team and he starts telling all the old war stories. You're going to go out there and do it? Hell no. You know how old I am now? I can't keep going out there and doing that. But I think that's going to be Draymond Green.
I ain't as good as I once was. I'm as good once as I ever was.
What's your career highlight, Draymond? I kick LeBron in the junk during the NBA Finals game. So
somebody had to do it.
Yeah, let's really quickly, let's go contender, pretender. We'll go down the East and we'll go down on the West.
Okay.
Again, you know, you and I are sort of taking this lackluster attitude, but this lax attitude because, again, we're just 10 games in. So
early.
This is
you can't draw too many conclusions.
Yeah, like, again, just like I said about Utah. But let's start in the East. Milwaukee Bucks, contender or pretender?
Dude, I'm just going to say I was wrong on my preseason predictions for this team, because even with Middleton healthy, I thought they needed to do something over the summer to, you know, shore it up. And Giannis kicked a huge win last night without him. But Giannis is playing as well as any player in the league, MVP numbers unquestionably. And imagine if they get Middleton back at some point, then, but hey, they're Bobby Portis is stepping up. These guys are playing together as a team. They look good and they're taking out everybody. So
Lopez is playing well for them again.
Yeah. Brooke. Yep. So contender. Yeah.
And they were missing him last year for majority of the season. Mm-hmm. So now that they have Giannis again, his game, which you and I have pointed the holes in his game before, it makes up for it with Lopez. Mm-hmm. Because when Lopez is out there, it's a good, okay, what he lacks in hitting that mid-range jump shot, Lopez can do that. Yep. Lopez can also take him outside. You know, he's a very good compliment for them. And it also doesn't hurt that your seven out of your first nine games have been home.
Yeah, that helps. Home,
yeah, that helps a lot. Number two, contender pretender, the Cleveland Cavaliers, 7-1 start in their first eight games.
I like him. I thought picking up Spider-Man was amazing. You put him in a different situation where there's a different mentality, a different coach. And I thought that's what the Jazz needed last year. We talked about it here. They let Snyder stay well past his voice had become just white noise. So you put Donovan Mitchell in a different situation with a bunch of complimentary talent and a bunch of kids that want to play hard. Garland is as tough as nails. You've got front court with Mobley. That's a team that is complete around him and has a little bit of depth too. So love the Cleveland Cavaliers. I don't know if they're in the finals, but don't sleep on them.
And Jared Allen too. Don't forget about him.
Yep. Jared Allen, court, back court, mid court, offense, defense.
They got everybody, man. They really do got everybody. This is an interesting one. The contender pretender of the Boston Celtics, 6-3 start in their first nine games. I'll give you mine after you give me yours on this one.
Okay. You can't say they're not contenders when they were in the Eastern Conference final. I mean, they were in the NBA finals. But there's been some turmoil in the front office. Over the offseason, we saw some trade rumors, trade winds blowing, and sometimes that has an adverse effect on the team. I know Jaylen Brown was very vocal about it on social media. You got to be able to put all that stuff behind you. Even a coaching change, you've got to be able to, find that mojo again. And it's a long season. So Jason Tatum is not as good as maybe Giannis and Steph, but just one half little inch down from the best players in the league. And they've got a lot of great talent around them too. So I think they're going to be there. I wouldn't be surprised to see them back in the finals, and I could see them winning it. They've had some stuff, which is a challenge. Change a head coach right before the season. I mean, that's a lot to really kind of deal with, and I think they'll figure it out.
I like how you just said, like, they had some stuff. they had a little stuff going on there. Listen, the jury in my mind is still out on whether Jason Tatum is really Batman. Because in the NBA Finals, again, his first NBA Finals, so you can't hold that against him because there's a lot of nerves. But, man, he just at times just was not there. You know, like you live and die with your main guy taking the shots. And when those main shots had to come around during the finals, Jaylen Brown was taking those shots. It wasn't Jason Tatum. So I like Tatum as a player. I think he's got skills, and he's still very young. That's the other thing that people seem to forget about him. But I don't know, man. And like you said, there just seems – when you look at Boston, you look at them and you're saying you have that feeling that there's going to be a letdown or something's going to happen or an injury, but you're just looking at the summer that they had and it was just not a good summer. And now it's like you're waiting for that next shoe to fall. What's next? And you don't want to have that.
Their hope, their entire hope, and I don't think it's a bad place to be, is put on the idea – that Jason Tatum, after being in the finals, he was astoundingly good in the conference finals. And then when it came to the finals, he choked.
Yeah.
We've seen so many amazing players, the first time they're in the finals, just fall on their butts because it's like, oh my God, we're in
Malone and Stockton. Malone and Stockton was the perfect example.
Clyde Drexler.
Yeah.
One of the most underrated shooting guards in the history of the game. But when it came to facing Michael Jordan in the finals, he just wasn't there. Then he delivered it for the Rockets with Hakeem. So the first time a player is in the finals, there's a different kind of pressure. And sometimes they step up to that and they just become a Michael Jordan type, Hakeem type. Sometimes it sets them back. The Celtics are hoping that he comes back from that as Batman, because he was Batman in the conference finals. That's where we're at with Boston. If that happens, they're good to go.
And I agree with you. It's just, man, you just have a gut feeling about a team, and that's my gut feeling about the Celtics. Pretender or contender, the Atlanta Hawks. Now, this is a team, Bill, that last season you and I had high hopes for after the previous season going into the conference finals, and they drastically disappointed everybody last year. Yep. And I made that sound very much more dramatic than it really needed to be by saying they let down everybody last year. But I think last year we all went in there with high expectations. And I also think they had a little bit of a target on their back, knowing that you have to get up and play Atlanta every single night. And Atlanta wasn't used to having a target on their back.
Well, and Trae Young hasn't shown, there's another thing. There's another step that he needs to take.
There's a level. There's a level, yeah.
And he hasn't done it. And then they bring in DeJounte Murray. Now, look, he's a great talent. And when I heard the Spurs had traded him, I was a little surprised. But then when you think about that, Greg Popovich would rather have you somewhere else than in his locker room when you have the talent that he has. Sometimes that works. Sometimes you go to another team and Nate McMillan is no slouch and it's a different environment and that works. I'm not sold on that.
No. And you have every right not to be sold on that. And look, I think my biggest issue with Trae Young, and you can correct me if you think that I'm sort of like wrong on this one, but man, Trae Young needs to be that guy who learns how to make everybody else around him better. And not being, you don't want to run what I like to call the Iverson offense, where it's 1-on-4 and just when the double team comes, you keep dishing it off.
Yeah.
You need to be able to help be a leader on that team. And the problem is, I don't think Trae Young has somebody around him to help him understand what leadership is all about. And I think that's what the biggest problem is. Until that happens, he's just going to be a really good player on a team. You know, for years and years and years, Mitch Richmond was a very, very good player for Sacramento, but Sacramento never went anywhere. Yeah. He came out to watch Mitch Richmond score 35 points, but his team never won. They made it the playoffs a couple times, but that's about it. And I think
maybe
that's
Draymond Green. Draymond Green, somewhere he might help is if he wound up in Atlanta and he could teach Trae Young that
would be good. You know what? I'm texting Ray Ritter right now. Put that in the GM's ear.
And maybe, hey, you get Collins,
John Collins is, ever since he signed his deal there, it feels like he'd really, you and I've had the conversation about when your contract is.
But if you're in Golden State and you can shoot the three and you can rebound and you can run,
you're able to do it. Now the next team on contender or pretender, man, this is all coaching. I hate to say it, but it really is coaching. That's the Toronto Raptors. Nick Nurse, man. Woo. Nick Nurse is a great coach. Yep. Look what he was able to get out of this team last year, making the playoffs and losing Scottie Barnes in the playoffs, and also might be almost knocking out the Philadelphia 76ers.
Yeah.
Sackham, I'm trying to figure out exactly what Sackham does well, like does best.
Sackham he's a utility guy, right? He can score. He's maybe Scottie Pippen. He can score. He can score a bunch sometimes. He'll rebound. He'll defend. He'll run, right? But he's not Batman. He's not. I thought if he was playing with Luke, there was some talk that the Mavs were pursuing him, 2 years ago or something. And I thought, wow, Luka and Siakam.
That would be such a good combo, man.
Yep, because if you give Luka a high flyer, maybe passing will be more a freer part of his game on a nightly basis instead of trying to be Superman every night. But yeah, Siakam, Barnes, they've got some pieces. They've got a great coach, but they're still who's Batman?
Right.
You can win without Batman if you have two really good Robins.
But you got the
But you can't win a championship that way.
You got the pips. Where's Gladys Knight at? That's what I got to say.
That's it. Right. That's it.
Let's get that music reference out there for everyone to start thinking about. Here's the pips. Where's Gladys Knight? Who the hell is Gladys Knight? I think Toronto is just such a really well-coached team. And, you know, you want to have a guy like that. Nick Nurse is, you know, he's a gold mine as far as a coach is concerned.
Absolutely.
Contender pretender, the Chicago Bulls. I'm going to start this one off because at this point, you know what Zach LaVine is.
Yep.
You know what he is. You know what some of these guys are. And, you know, Billy Donovan is a heck of a coach. He is a heck of a coach. But this team is going to be a very fun, entertaining regular season team, but I can't see them making noise in the playoffs. I see them sort of taking a step back this year, maybe into the play-in bracket, but I don't see them being the team to put a lot of fear in people's hearts and go into a second-round playoff series. And they got to stay healthy.
One of the big issues is that DeMar DeRozan is amazing during the regular season, and then the playoffs start, and it's like, I'm sorry, was DeMar here? Or DeMar? Anybody seen? Oh. I don't know why that is, but that's.
But you're not wrong. I'm telling you right now, you're not wrong. He just has a great disappearing act. I actually went to Chicago during the playoffs last year and saw his face on a milk carton when I went to the supermarket. And it said missing. Okay. Please return to the United Center for games 1, 2, and 5. All joking aside, I never made it to Chicago. With that being said, though, you know, look, at the end of the day, there are certain players that are just very good at being that number two guy. Mm-hmm. DeMar DeRozan is that guy. And I felt last year, in a moment where Zach LaVine should have really stepped up and be the guy, he wasn't. And Chicago's supposed to be his team, and he wasn't there.
Yeah.
I wanted to get your take on the Chicago Bulls. I look at them as a serious pretender, not being a team to be competing for a championship. A play-in spot seems to be more reasonable.
I thought when they added Vukovic, you've got shooting, they brought DeRozan back, and I thought, man, that team could really be good. But always with teams, unless you have a transcendent player, which there are very few, it's all about what you picture on paper and how that actually starts to look on the basketball court. And Chicago's a team that looks great on paper. And then when it goes out on the court, it just doesn't transpire the way that, you know, like.
But does it look good on paper?
If you're playing with them on NBA 2K, it's like, great, I'm going to get all this great play through Vukovic, and DeRozan's going to be lights out, and you got LaVine. And then it just doesn't quite happen that way.
But does it look good on paper? That's the thing. If you
It did when they were putting it together.
Yeah, my big thing is you look at this roster and you're like, okay, there's some nice pieces here. And that goes back to what we always say. It's nice to get a piece here, a piece there, but who's your centerpiece? Who are you saying I'm getting these pieces together, and who am I building around? Who are these pieces building around?
They were hoping it was LaVine, but.
Yeah, but then DeRozan comes out and says, no, this is my team. And LaVine's probably such a nice guy. So, it's your team. Just
sure.
Give me the ball. Give me the ball when you got a minute. I'll do the best I can with it. And I'll put a highlight together. Yeah. You just look at it. And you're just like, oh, okay, yeah. You know, like, whose team is it really? I look at the Chicago Bulls, and that's disappointing because I really like the Bulls. I always loved the Bulls. Yeah. I always used to love the Chicago Bulls, but I don't see it. And not only that, but I also think a franchise, and like, it's good to see the Cleveland Cavaliers having the success that they're having now, getting past LeBron James and getting past that. Because I honestly felt the first time LeBron left the organization, no matter how many great players you brought in, it was never going to be enough.
Yeah.
And I honestly feel that the Bulls have never recovered from Michael Jordan leaving.
Right. Well, that's a toll. The Rockets haven't truly, look, Hakeem won 2 championships, and then you've had a million potential guys, and people. I don't think people appreciate how hard it is to win a championship, because the Lakers and Celtics have made it look easy many times, but Look at LeBron. You put LeBron, Dwayne Wade, and Chris Bosh together, and they couldn't do it. And they were beaten by a Dallas team that had Jason Kidd over the hill, Dirk in his prime, and a bunch of other complimentary guys. And they beat three, you know, superstars according to themselves.
Yeah, so but the difference is, though, the Miami Heat recognized that they were getting rid of those big three after a couple of championships. And but the thing is, though, LeBron James, Dwayne Wade, and Chris Bosh are not hanging over that organization. The feeling of that, they're able to adjust their culture. The Cavaliers were originally not able to change that culture. Then when LeBron left the second time, they said, you know what? We're in better shape than we thought we were the second time he left. And now look, and now you have fans not even talking about LeBron. And you know, you go to Chicago,
you know, right now.
Yeah, like you go to the Chicago Bulls games, they say this is the place where Michael Jordan won his championships. You know, you're not promoting your team, you're promoting your history. That's like baseball's biggest problem right now, is they promote their history. They're not promoting what they currently have. Wrapping up a couple more of these contender pretenders in the East. We were just talking about the Indiana Pacers before. We don't know what they're doing.
Yeah.
So it's hard to really say what Rick Carlisle and company is doing over there. Go with the Washington Wizards. Again, this is another team that, what are we doing?
Who are they?
Yeah, Bradley Beal's there. You know, Bradley Beal's like, you keep sending me that money, I'll keep hanging out here. Championships, I'll go like sign a 1-year deal towards the end.
Yeah,
go to a contender. That's pretty much what's going to happen with him. The Knicks, look, you know, I watched a little bit of the Knicks and the Celtics last night, and we were just talking before about who are you building your team around, and Julius Randle. You know, you and I have had many discussions about Julius Randle. Who he is, what he brings to the table, what kind of player he should be for that team, the Knicks' identity. And you this summer on New York Sports Talk Radio, it was a lot of, we want to build around R.J. Barrett. We want to build around OB. Yeah. We want to build around, you know, Quigley. And you want to build around these younger guys, but you have a coach who doesn't want to play the younger guys, who don't want to give them the minutes in those big moments.
Notoriously.
He's hanging on to the Derrick Roses of the world. He's playing Fournier. Mm-hmm. He's playing Randall heavy minutes. And it's not that he's not playing the young guys, but he's not putting them out there in key moments.
Which is when they grow.
Yeah. And that's how you have to learn how – you're not losing your learning. I know I say that all the time on this show.
Yep.
But it's the truth. So until Thibodeau really understands that, the Knicks are going to be a play-in team, or they're not going to be in the playoffs.
Yeah, I can't. I mean, and they put all their eggs in the Jalen Brunson basket, which, of course, we also talked about here. Dallas didn't really need – it was just too much money. I mean, why would you spend that much money on an undersized point guard? And he'll be good for them, but he's not the difference. And the Knicks, like we're talking about with these other teams, they don't have Batman. Who's the guy? It's not Jalen Brunson. It's not. He's too small.
I don't understand that signing. I don't understand that. Let me rephrase that. I didn't understand that signing for that price point.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Right.
Mm-hmm. And you and I talked a lot about that during the summer. And it's just, I didn't understand that price point for him, because it's not that he's not a good player and it's not that he can't contribute. But when the game is on the line, I don't want the ball in his hands.
Yeah.
You know, well, you want.
And in Dallas, the ball was in Luka's hands. When the game was on the line. Look, I'll give you an analogy to baseball. Carlos Correa is an incredible, really gifted shortstop defensively. He's solid at the plate. Wanted a bunch of money from the Astros. And I, understanding how good their farm system was, I thought, you know, that's a lot of money. And I bet they've got another guy who could come in and give you what he gives you for less money. And guess what? Jeremy Peña is rookie of the year, World Series MVP. Carlos, who, you know, like, you have to recognize the money, and it, to a certain extent, it's money ball. Although the money ball argument often means you don't have Batman at all and you can't win that way. Not in the playoffs. But when you do have to understand what Spencer Dinwiddie explained to us at Mavs Media Day. No one player has to replace Jalen Brunson's production. Among the 12 of us, we have plenty of tools to replace what he, when he leaves, what we lose. We have plenty of guys to do that. It's not just one guy. And that's what you have to understand.
Well, and it's funny too, you know, you anytime they always say it's all about the team, it's all about the team, usually means that they don't have a guy who's who's going to rally the team. Yeah. We talked before about the Nets and the Sixers and the Heat, and we know we discussed the Hornets also. We mentioned Detroit and Orlando, so we know what those teams are. So I don't have to say contender or pretender. Real quick, let's do a couple in the Western Conference, and we'll hop out of here. Man, the game seven of Phoenix to Dallas last year when Dallas destroyed Phoenix, did that like say, okay, Phoenix is starting 7-2, and?
Well, I think you have two ways to respond to a situation like that. And one is you're done and the team ends up having to be broken up. This is what happened with Utah. You suffer a huge loss in the playoffs. It either breaks your team or makes them. And the Phoenix Suns have come out of the gate. A, you've got DeAndre Ayton, who didn't get the deal he wanted, feels he has something to prove. You've got Devin Booker, MVP candidate, obviously. And then you have Chris Paul, who would really like to win a championship, and he's not getting any younger. And you've got a great bench around him. You've got Michael Bridges, who comes back better every year. You have every reason to believe that Phoenix is a contender. And hey, they could be in the finals. They could win a championship. Wouldn't surprise me at all.
Yeah, I agree with you. So I'm going to go with exactly those points, too. I look at them as contender. Right now, again, first 10 games of the year.
Yeah.
Utah Jazz is number two. I look at them as a pretender. Hot start. You know, once you sit, like you said, once you start realizing what they have and who what they're doing, this is going to the Hulk Hogan theme song, it's going to come crashing down. It's going to hurt inside, brother.
Well, remember Lin Sanity. You had a stretch where Jeremy Lin, right before the All-Star break, was absolutely amazing for the New York Knicks, put up some incredible offensive numbers. And what I said at that time was, well, now all those coaches are going to be off for a week. And they're going to be watching film. And Jeremy Lin never played that way again for the rest of his career. And I think Lauri Markkanen is probably the guy who has come out, because even Jazz fans are going, wait, who is this guy again? How do you pronounce his name? And he looks amazing, but he's never played this way before. So rest assured that a week or two from now, once the film sessions have caught up and teams are beginning to actually prepare for the Utah Jazz, or maybe they didn't initially because, you know, you figure they're trying to rebuild. Teams are going to start preparing for Lauri Markkanen, and then life's going to get real difficult for the Utah Jazz, unfortunately. It's a great story.
Yeah, it is. It's good, and it's good to see them coming out there and doing this the way they're doing. You want to have good things, and it's not like that, but it's a Danny Ainge team. So Danny's looking for a GM right now. He can offer peanuts and get an elephant back.
Yeah.
So that's just the way he does it, you know?
Yeah. I wouldn't let Danny Ainge run my team if I was a team owner. He wouldn't be my choice.
No, there's one GM I wouldn't want to have run my team more than Danny Ainge, and that's Billy King. But that's another story.
No, yeah. that would be – oh, yeah. That's.
So here's what I'm going to do is I'm going to trade you Jordan Pippen – Rodman and Grant, and you give me Eric Snow.
Every player who's one leg away from retirement in the league.
All right, I think we have a deal here. Mm-hmm. Danny Ainge goes, oh, you were serious.
Yeah, Isaiah Thomas would be pretty bad. That's a bad one, too.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that one's pretty bad, too, yeah.
The Knicks had a first-round pick since 1980. One was no.
You look at the opposite way, where the Oklahoma City Thunder kept on trading everybody away and just consolidating draft picks. And yeah. I remember there was that one picture where it was like the draft lottery, and it was everybody there was the Oklahoma City Thunder except for the Knicks. And it was like, it was the Knicks one spot, and then it was everything else was the Oklahoma City Thunder. I thought that was great.
Look at that, man. How about if you're team building and you sign Kawhi Leonard, and he can actually play, and you still have Shai Gilgeous-Alexander.
Yeah.
Like, you didn't need – don't let players build teams. Let general managers build teams.
Well, and you know what? And I do think LeBron gets a bad rep because of that, but the problem is when you start trying to get input. Like, I think what happened in Miami was a happy mistake with the championships they won because, look, you were getting the Mike Millers of the world. You were getting the Ray Allens.
You lucked out.
Mm-hmm. You lucked out by getting some of the right guys, but it hasn't worked since.
No.
Like the Lakers sort of lucked out because the favorites in the Eastern Conference got knocked out that year. Mm-hmm. And they just played a very, 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 you know, it was Jimmy Butler in the Heat type of thing, you know?
Yeah. Yep.
So A couple more of these contenders, pretenders. Look, the Memphis Grizzlies last year had a great season. Now they have to come out with the target on their back this year. I worry about John Morant becoming the next Allen Iverson type of player. The only difference is he's got more talent around him than Allen Iverson did.
Yeah.
What do you think for Ja has to do to expand his game out a little bit more to sort of give him a little bit more longevity? Because he's been getting busted up and he missed a lot of games over the last. So you know, what your take on Ja and the Grizz?
I think he has to learn what so many players had to learn, is that in college, you can beat everybody. You can single-handedly take your team, blah, blah, blah. The NBA is a different animal. You've got to trust your teammates. You're the point guard. Yes, you can score more times than not. You're going to take a beating when you're doing that in the paint, even in the kinder, gentler, no defense NBA. It's still going to take a pounding. So better to get your teammates involved in a way where you're not putting so much strain on your own body. And B, you're letting everybody else participate. When you let everybody participate, they play on the other end too. And you've got to do it as a team on both ends of the floor. So, you know, young player, man, they've got talent around him. Those guys, you know, and Steven Adams was the perfect, like we talked about with Draymond, somebody who's going to come in and teach grit and toughness. But it's hard for a young player who has the incredible athletic ability that he has, that he can just take it, you know, past everybody. But you've got to teach him, okay, that's great that you can do that. But when we're playing the games that really matter against the teams that are really great, they're going to stop you. So you got to learn during the regular season, maybe you can do that, but maybe you shouldn't. And that's how you're going to grow your game. And hey, he's got plenty of time. I think, you know, he's going to learn that.
Yeah, but the thing is, though, in about three or four more years, more younger kids are going to be coming in the league. And be a little bit more younger and a little bit more athletic than he is. So that team has a little bit of a window to get this stuff done. All right, real quick, I want to knock out the pretenders real quick. I think we can say the Houston Rockets are a pretender.
No, they're not even pretending.
can we say the Oklahoma City Thunder are a pretender?
I don't. They're not. They're a step away. But I don't. This isn't their year. They're not there yet. They're gonna be next year, 2 years, maybe even three. But not. I don't think three. I think next year. They just need one more bit of seasoning. And Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, man, that kid is. You talk about the great point guards in the league, and he's showing he can do it. And that's a team that's finally, for Sam Presti, this far from being there. But I don't think they're quite there yet.
Yeah, and I think this is what they did when they first had Russ and Kevin Durant and all those guys. They're homegrown. They're whole growing it. That's what they're supposed to be doing, and that's the right way of doing it. And it's going to take a little time, and kudos to their fan base for being patient. Sacramento Kings, another team that's a pretender.
Always, every year. They find some way to not
not compete. San Antonio is a pretender. I know it hurts you to say that.
They're not – losing their learning, right?
I think I have to say both the Lakers and the Clippers are pretenders too. Like the amount of all-star talent that the Lakers have is sort of over the hill. A 2-6 start, again, under 10 games. You know that they're not going to have a repeat of last season. They don't want to.
Right. Well, and Anthony Davis hasn't gotten that significant injury yet. He's put up great numbers, and they still don't win. They don't have there's no pieces around those guys. Yeah, you can bring Lonnie Walker off the bench and he'll have one good game. Okay, great. And you're going to find a taker for Russell Westbrook? I'm sure you can down the road, and he'll be amazing somewhere else. But at his salary, you know, it's got to be a team that, I mean, it's not going to help the Lakers. There's not a move out there that makes the Lakers contenders this year or even a playoff team. You can probably unload Russ, but you're not getting unless you
want I think. I think it's time for the Lakers to start looking at life past LeBron and start stockpiling picks. So when he does leave, you can start bringing in some younger players and keep it going.
And the Clippers, I feel like, hey, you're still – is Kawhi playing? He played one game. Is he going to have to take 10 games off in between games? Is that how that works now?
Well, he has a contract for three games on, five games off.
Yeah. You can't win that way. You can't put together. There's no chemistry. There's, you know, like, that's not how that works. You can't just have a guy play once a month. And
I agree with that. That's why I'm putting them in the pretender category. Yep. A couple other ones here that I'm going to make you think a little bit. Portland Trailblazers. Look, I think if Damian Lillard was actually healthy last year, I think they probably would have moved him. He was hurt, maybe, and they couldn't. But now they have a little bit of a different type of team. They started off 6-3 of their first 9 games, which is not bad. They're playing well.
And Lillard's been out the last couple.
Yeah, Lillard hasn't played the last 2 or 3. So I don't know. I think they're a play-in team. I think that's what really, you know, if you're Portland, that's your bar. I think that's where that's what you're really going to be sitting at, is you're going to be a play-in team.
Well, I love the pickup of Jeremy Grant. I thought that was fantastic. Yeah. Damian Lillard needed somebody else, another significant scoring threat and a front court threat.
Yeah, that's what it was.
And I think with Nurkic down there, and you've got shooters, there's potential with Portland. Can Damian Lillard stay healthy?
And that's a real question.
Then they'll still win some games, but not at that level. So I like, if you tell me they're going to be healthy all year, I like Portland. I just don't think that's what's going to happen.
No. It's like, it's one of those things where you hope it happens for them, but it's not going to happen. All right. Last couple for these, and then we'll wrap it up and get out of here. I'm just going to give you these 4 teams.
Okay.
And you let me know who are contenders or pretenders. Minnesota, New Orleans, Dallas, Denver.
Okay. I love New Orleans. Love New Orleans.
Yeah, I do too.
Get Brandon Ingram back. Zion's actually playing well, and he's not playing above himself. He's not trying to do too much where he's going to get hurt.
He wore a name tag first day of the season saying, "Hello, my name is Zion." We were like, oh, really?
Right. Oh, I heard that name. Didn't
you? There was a rumor that you played here.
But when Brandon gets bit in concussion protocols, when my cousin Brandon Ingram comes back, and then, but get this, they also have the Lakers' first round pick. Like, there's no excuse for them not to be really good. I think they're going to be there. I think once they get Ingram healthy, I really think this team could be there this year. I'm going to say that. Dallas, they've got some pieces they needed. They got front court, although JaVale McGee has already played himself out of the starting lineup. But I love Christian Wood.
How does one do that, by the way? You're in a Jason Kidd lineup where you're desperate for big men, and you work your way out of the lineup.
This is what I'm going to say about Luka. Luka is the best player in the NBA. There is no question. Not even Giannis. Luka is it.
Yeah.
But Luka, please. Teammates. Teammates matter. Number one, not just sometimes, all the time. And yes, the refs are going to miss calls. Please stop being Michael Jordan and Allen Iverson.
Leave the begging, referees alone.
The pleading, the just angst over, it's like every bad whistle or even good one sometimes, he just gets so upset, and you've just got to move past that. But the biggest thing with him is there's plenty of talent around him now, front court talent, back court talent. And you look at the box score night after night, and man, Luka has an incredible line and nobody else.
That goes back to what we were saying about the Iverson conversation. If you're going to play 1-4 basketball, you have to be able to accept the fact that no matter who you bring in there as a number two, it's never going to work because he has the mindset, it's me and everybody else.
Yep.
Whereas it's not us. So that's a big problem. The one out of those 4 teams, the one team to me that just doesn't seem like they ever can get out of their own way is the Minnesota Timberwolves.
Yeah. Well, that's, you know, on paper, I saw a lot of people predicting they'd win the West. And I just thought, 20 years ago when the whole, you know, the Twin Tower concept, which I loved, Ralph Sampson and Hakeem playing together. I thought, you know, even Jim Peterson, they had the 3 towers, but I mean, it can work. Karl Anthony Towns is not someone who wants to play in the paint anyway. He wants to shoot threes, right? Just like some of the other guys we've talked about, Embiid and KD loves to shoot threes. Like, these are guys with length that could really make a difference. And I love Goose, Anthony Edwards, but I don't know. I'm going to have to see it to believe it. And then the other team we were talking about was Denver. Jamal Murray being back is huge for them. Jokic, you know, an astounding. If you're going to build your team around any center in the NBA today, right now, it's him. It's not Embiid.
Yeah.
So I like them, but
it just seems like there's always something missing.
Something, they've got a lot of pieces. Some of them are very, very good. But I think what I really need to see is Jamal Murray for another till Christmas. You know, let's see. Give that, he missed so many, when you miss that many games, especially as a point guard, let's give them till Christmas before we decide. They might be contenders.
Yeah, I agree with you 110%. It's just, I always feel like there's something missing with Denver. Like, and you know what it is? I think maybe it's because Jokic is not in a big market, so he doesn't get a lot of airtime. Mm-hmm. But he's also not, there's nothing very sexy about his game. I don't want to, you know, it's you don't want to use that type of word, but there's something about not that sexy about his game. And
he's
you
very
want
Tim Duncan, big fundamental, yeah, you know.
And you know what, too? It's like you're not sitting there saying, "Oh, I gotta go watch Jokic highlights." you know what I mean? It's like, right. Oh, look at this Luka's shot fade away from the half court, nails at three. Steph Curry, yeah. Three pointers. Look at that bank shot by Jokic.
Tim Duncan. Duncan's highlight reel is bank shot, bank shot, bank shot.
Yeah. Yeah. So, Bill, let me ask you a question.
But he also played till he was 40 because he wasn't trying to dunk everything. So there's that.
Well, that's true, too. I think that some of the best players in this game are the ones who are able to adjust when they have different style of teammates. People always slam Amari Stoudemire. I thought Amari Stoudemire learned how to have a complete game, not after his knee injury because he was still dunking and doing all that crazy stuff, but when Shaq came in the lineup and Stoudemire realized he couldn't be in the paint, that's when he developed a jump shot. Yep. Blake Griffin got older, he developed a jump shot because his athleticism went away. Mm-hmm. So the next time we come on, Bill, I'm going to ask you these three questions, and you think they're going to be answered, and I'll put it out to the audience too. One, will Kyrie Irving be putting back on not just a Nets jersey, but any type of NBA jersey?
Okay.
Okay. If you want to answer them now, you can give your opinion on it. The second
question. I'll give you the preview. My preview answer is someone always wants talent.
Okay.
Even. Yeah. I mean, Kanye West is still selling songs, even though something wrong with that guy.
Two, by this time next time we air, will LeBron James' head explode with losing? I think that's going to happen. And listen, we all slam LeBron James about how involved he is with front office deals and stuff, but he's a competitor first and he wants to win, and that's really the main purpose of it. I can't see him allowing this thing to spiral out of control without him sort of blowing up and saying something, either him asking himself to get moved or him sitting there saying, trade everybody and get me Jimmy Butler in here. And then his head will really spin.
Which doesn't help.
And then the third one, and this I think this is a very fair question, will the Golden State Warriors turn it around? Because something's missing. Something's missing in that soup. You know what I mean? I don't know what it is.
Yeah. And they have lost some young talent. You know, you lose some of the guys off the bench and somebody's got to fill that void. And right now, that's what's not happening. Will it? Hey, you got the second best coach in the league. You've got one of the greatest one of the greatest Batman of all time. There's no question there. So I think they're going to figure it out.
Yeah, me too.
But I do think you got to move Draymond. You got to move Draymond for somebody younger who contributes more. John Collins, if you could pull that particular string right there.
I think that's a win-win for everybody right there.
Because Wiggins is ready, man. That guy.
He's playing great. He's playing great basketball. But this is such another topic for another show. But I'm about to say, some of these kids get drafted into the league at such a young age at 19. And now, four or five years later, Andrew Wiggins is finally coming into his own as a star. That does say something about the maturity of the things that we've been talking about on this show a bunch of different times. So, yeah.
And now they're going to lift that.
Yeah.
Now you can come in when you're 18. I mean,
can I be heard? Can I just go to NBA All-Star, go on the podium and say, before you guys vote on anything, listen to me. I want to, you can throw me out when I'm done. You can bar me from ever coming to another NBA arena, but let me just say my piece because it makes so much sense because there's money to be made with my points. Yes. You raise the level of your G League. You raise the level of play on your court. It's going to be a cleaner game. The criticism of coming down the court and shooting a three with 15 left on the shot clock goes away if you just listen to this show. Two men who understand this much better than the people that are running it.
Yes.
Nothing personal, Mr. Silver.
Well, but that's dumb. It's dumb.
Meanwhile,
18-year-old kids play in the NBA. We just don't. It doesn't go well for anybody involved.
Meanwhile, they're making millions and we're hosting a podcast. Anyway, with that being said, you guys can follow the show at backsportspage.com. Bill, so glad to be back with you. You can follow the show again, Hardwood Huddle. You can follow Bill at The Rocket Guy. You can follow me at Randy BSP. I'm getting my basketball opinions back out there now, and especially with what's going on with the Nets and with all the hate that's going towards Kyrie, some of it deserved, some of it not. I also think there's also an educational factor that has to go with this too, with the fact that he is 29 years old, and some people even at that age are just not educated enough, and sometimes say stupid things to put their foot in their mouth. So before we keep slamming people, try to look at things through their perspective, even though I would never try to look in the Kyrie's head. Right now, there's a therapist that would become a millionaire trying to talk with him. But with that being...
And get nowhere.
Yeah. I think I had more of a handle this before we started. Now I'm even more lost. With that being said, that is the basketball master, the basketball Jedi master, Bill Ingram, celebrating his Houston Astros World Series championship. I'm Randy Zelia, who has not seen a championship in New York since 2009. if you think about it, that's really the truth. There's been no hockey.
There's been a lot of money to not win a championship.
Listen, it takes a lot of talent to spend that much money and not win.
Yeah.
it's our New York anthem here. Let's spend a lot of money and not win.
Yeah.
So, with that being said, we'll see you next time here on the Hardwood Huddle.